synergistic flow of people hand pulling the corn, people are packing the corn on top of the machine, people are assembling crates at the top of the machine, people are closing the crates in the middle of the machine, they're stacking crates onto a field truck. It is mind-boggling to watch. I have grown up seeing this twice a year, and it still just fascinates me.
Agriculture in Georgia is big business. It's a difficult business, a diverse business, and an evolving business. Today, we'll meet a farmer who, six generations later, is still learning.
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today, we are in Camilla, Georgia. And where is Camilla? Well, just south of Albany and Doherty County is where you'll find Mitchell County. And Camilla is smack in the middle of Mitchell County. We are way down there in South Georgia. In fact, as the crow flies, we're only about 38 miles north of the Georgia-Florida line. Camilla is home of Longleaf Ridge Farms and sixth-generation farmer Casey Cox. And I'm going to let her address the elephant in the room here at the very top.
Even though it is a little bit unique to be a woman in agriculture, I have had so many incredible opportunities, and my community has really embraced me, and the agriculture industry as a whole has really embraced me. And I just see that there are so many women who went before me who blazed that trail for me, and I hope that I can do the same for women in the next generation coming along.
Casey has a great perspective about her place in the industry, and she's humble. One thing she's not saying, she is featured in a YouTube video with, as of this moment, 1.9 million views. What is that video about? Peanuts. Stick around and I'll share a clip with you. First, let's head out to the field.
Let's start by pulling up peanuts.
Yeah. Just tell me what you're doing, why.
All right, we're in the middle of peanut harvest season right now, and we're going through the first stage of harvest in our last field, which is digging the peanuts. So we do that with a machine, but it's always interesting to see how the peanuts grow.
So what are we looking for when you pull up these peanuts? What do you want to see?
We plant our peanuts in twin rows, and so what we really want to see is a strong root crop, and you can see here most of the peanuts have formed close to the root, so they're usually just a little bit healthier that way, and we know they're going to pick well. And we're seeing obviously full peanuts. They're very mature right now. We've had a few that are even a little bit difficult to even it's almost hard to even open them because they're just so full, which is a great sign.
Big, full peanuts. Now, I've mentioned this fact before on other episodes, but I just love hearing it over and over.
So one thing I'm really proud of is the fact that Georgia is the number one peanut state in the country. So we might be known as the Peach State, but I like to say that we're the peanut state too. So we produce usually around half of the United States peanut crop every year.
Say it louder for people in the back.
So we produce usually around half of the United States peanut crop every year. And it's just a really critical aspect, not only for our family farm, but our entire community and our entire state. It's a multi-million dollar, almost billion dollar economy here in Georgia. You might want to fact check me on that.
Yeah. And she says she makes $1 billion.
No. The whole state, the contribution to the whole state. And there was one other fun fact I wanted to share about that.
Yeah, no rush.
Oh, the county our farm is in, Mitchell County, is actually the top producing peanut state in all of Georgia. So we have more peanut acreage here in Mitchell County than any other county. But all of our surrounding counties and our neighbors are major, major peanut producing areas. So this crop is really critical to our local economies and communities. And I'm really, really grateful and proud that we get to grow this crop.
Peanuts are big business, and because they're big business, there's a lot of science and knowledge from generations of trial and error on the farm.
So one thing I forgot to mention is that peanuts are nitrogen fixing because they're legumes. And so they actually produce their own nitrogen. And after we plant a peanut crop, there's often some residual nitrogen in the soil, which is really great for the subsequent crops that we plant in our rotation.
What do you plant on this field next year?
So we will probably plant sweet corn here next year. That's our other major crop that we grow.
So it goes peanut, sweet corn, back and forth?
No. We have we're on a 3-year rotation with peanuts, and so we also grow field corn and soybeans. So the crop rotation schedule and planting schedule is a big puzzle that we have to put together year to year. But peanuts really guide that process because we cannot plant peanuts back to back on the same field or even every other year. It's just not good for the soil. It's not good for the peanut crop. So that 3-year rotation is really critical. So we really let the peanut rotation guide everything else. So it may be sweet corn, it may be field corn. Sometimes we have to adapt based on where we're planting peanuts.
Nice.
Okay. Yes, peanuts are great. It's a very interesting crop to grow.
They are great, aren't they? And at Longleaf Ridge Farms, they do something extra special with their peanuts.
So what we usually do is we'll take a few plants like this and go set them on the back of a pickup truck, and we'll just start manually shelling them. And we'll be checking the maturity of them. And then we also do what's called, we usually call this a shell out. And we'll do a test on the hull of the peanut. And we'll scrape the back of it, and the color that you see is a sign of maturity. So if the majority of the peanuts that you're evaluating are a darker color, then you know that they're mature and they're ready to be harvested. And another thing is really simple. It's just the days after planting. You usually want to start evaluating the crop maturity about 135 to 145 days after planting. That's usually the key time, and then the shell out confirms if they're ready to start digging and then harvesting. One thing that's really important to me about peanuts is how efficiently they use water. Our farm is right on the Flint River, and we're really passionate about conserving water and optimizing our water use. And peanuts only take about 4.6 gallons of water to produce an ounce or a serving of peanuts, in comparison to nearly 70 or 80 gallons of water per ounce for other types of similar products. So that's something we have to be really proud of from a conservation perspective with peanuts.
That was good. Right at the end, the peanut starts scraping your mic.
Oh, no.
You got it. But I can cut this.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
I love this butterfly. Look at that.
I know. Look at it.
It's probably the coconut oil.
Oh, yes. I get distracted easily. I really do like that Casey is concerned about water conservation. And, well, it shouldn't be surprising. She was the executive director of the Flint River Soil and Water Conservation District for 5 years. So, yeah, that tracks. Oh, and I didn't forget about that video with the 1.9 million views. Well, Casey was once featured on Sesame Street.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Here we are at the peanut farm. Oh, hello, Miss Farmer. We need peanut butter to make apple slice and peanut butter sandwiches. Can you help us, please?
Welcome to the Peanut Farm, Cookie Monster and Gonger. Of course I can help you.
Peanut butter is made out of peanuts, which grow underground. A peanut digger digs them out of the ground, shakes the dirt off, and turns the plant over so the peanuts can dry in the sunlight.
Let's not forget, Longleaf Ridge Farms is not just a peanut farm. Casey said they rotate in sweet corn too.
Yeah. Okay.
So we started growing sweet corn almost 40 years ago. My father had been working in the family farm operation, and he was just looking for new crops and innovative ways for us to diversify our business. And he started looking at sweet corn, and at the time there was really only one sweet corn grower in the state of Georgia. So he traveled to Florida and California and Colorado and New York to learn about sweet corn production. And eventually our family partnered with a sweet corn grower that was based in South Florida, and we built a pre-cooler, which is a hydro-cooler for sweet corn, here close to our farm. And we started producing sweet corn. So we grew our first crop of sweet corn in 1983, and we grow in the spring from about mid-May through the 4th of July. That's our primary harvest season for the summer. And then we also grow a smaller fall crop that we usually are harvesting between early October and early November. But this is actually the biggest crop that we grow on our farm, the most acreage, and one of my favorite crops to grow. It's quite tasty. I want you to taste this though. Have you ever had raw corn?
No. Never had raw corn. Okay. You want me to taste it?
I want you to try it, yeah.
Okay.
And then I'll find a better one for us, so take a picture.
Oh my gosh.
It's good, isn't it?
I'm gonna finish this.
No, it's a great snack. You have to try it.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
It needs nothing.
I know. I mean, cooking it enhances the flavor a little bit, but it's good raw.
It doesn't need butter, salt. No. How does it get so sweet?
It's just the variety, and then picking it straight out of the field like this, you cannot beat the flavor and the sweetness and the freshness. There's just nothing like it. I have had so many people tell me, I don't like corn. And then they try corn straight out of the field like this, and it completely changes their minds. They're like, I've just never had corn like this before.
Yeah, it's like candy, and it's sweet.
It is so sweet. All of the sweet corn we grow is super sweet variety. We grow both bicolor and yellow corn, which just refers to the color of the kernels. And so yellow is obviously solid yellow, and then bicolor has a mixture of yellow and white kernels. They both taste really similar. They're both really sweet and really delicious, but we grow different varieties of both types of corn.
It is tasty. What makes it so tasty? I've had corn.
Yeah.
I think I've had sweet corn, but I've never had it raw like that. I've always had to put stuff on it. What does that? What makes it so good?
So one of the things that is just tragic to me as someone who grew up eating delicious sweet corn is that very few people get to experience it straight out of the field like this, because right after it's harvested is when it is at its most delicious flavor. It's fresh, it's sweet, it's just perfect. And because of how the supply chain works and logistics, most people who are buying it don't have the opportunity to taste it at that perfect freshness. So I love bringing people out here and sharing the fresh sweet corn with them, because it's really just unlike any other flavor you've had before.
How many acres of sweet corn are you growing out here?
We grow about 400 acres of sweet corn in the spring for our main crop, and then we also grow about 150 acres in the fall.
Where can people find it? Where could a consumer find it, or does it go through the whole chain? Tell me.
Well, I have an interesting answer for that. Our sweet corn is sold all over the country to grocery stores and food distributors and farmers markets, and we even sold it to places in Canada. In 2021, we launched a new branch of our farm called Casey Morgan's, and one of the things that I was really passionate about doing is bringing that farm fresh flavor to customers directly, so that you get to experience the sweet corn the same way I do. So Casey Morgan's, during our fall and spring seasons, will offer direct-to-consumer sweet corn. So you can order online, and we'll ship it straight to your door within a couple of days of harvest.
Wow. That's really neat. What... You know, I can tell you seem to have a passion for peanuts, but I also see this passion for sweet corn. It is, you know, everyone knows peanuts are in Georgia and they're going to be good.
Right.
Come from this Georgia soil. You know, what is it taking to get the word out about this sweet corn here?
We are in such a great position here in Georgia to grow sweet corn, because only Georgia and Florida can grow the two seasons. So we have it both in the fall and the spring. We just have the perfect climate and soils to grow the best quality, this sweet, delicious flavor that you get. And we're also really fortunate that our harvest time is between Memorial Day and the 4th of July. I feel like it's kind of like Georgia watermelons. We're in that quintessential summer harvest period where everybody's wanting those summer favorites and the summer barbecues like sweet corn. So we have that sweet spot harvest time during that period. So usually if you're buying sweet corn between mid-May to early July, it is coming from just a couple of counties here in Southwest Georgia. So Georgia is now one of the top five sweet corn producing states in the entire country.
Did you know that? Georgia is in the top five for sweet corn production, and that's on top of the fact that we're the number one peanut producer. Georgia grown, baby.
Please don't do that.
Yeah, I got a little psyched, didn't I?
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell me about the machine, the harvesting. It's quite a process.
So with sweet corn, you can harvest it with a machine, but we actually hand harvest all of our sweet corn. And that involves this giant contraption we call a mule train and a crew of about 50 people who are some of the hardest working people I've ever seen in my entire life. And it is just this incredible synergistic flow of people hand pulling the corn. People are packing the corn on top of the machine. People are assembling crates at the top of the machine. People are closing the crates in the middle of the machine. They're stacking crates onto a field truck. It is mind-boggling to watch. I have grown up seeing this twice a year, and it still just fascinates me. And that hand harvesting is great because the machines have come a long way when it comes to quality and things like that, but that hand harvest is really essential in ensuring that we're getting the best corn. We're not picking everything that's on the stalk. You're getting only the best ears. You're not getting the second ears that aren't fully developed. You're getting the cream of the crop, literally, by hand harvesting it.
What have been the challenges growing so many different varieties? Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't even gotten into the trees yet.
I love being back on the farm because it is really challenging and also really rewarding. And I am learning something new every single day. And I will be the first to admit I don't know everything yet. I'm still learning so much. And every crop we grow is unique and different and has special needs and circumstances. So it has been a journey for me to learn about the nuances of all the different crops that we grow and the timber that we manage. And on top of that, you know, farming is a very sophisticated and complex business. And I have a degree in forestry and conservation. I've really had to learn the business side of our farm really just by doing it and working with my parents for several years. And I'm so thankful to have had that experience, but it's I feel like farmers, I have such an appreciation and respect for other farmers because I know how many different hats that we have to wear every single day to make the farm operation work.
It is not an easy job, and Casey goes above and beyond to make sure Longleaf Ridge Farms is doing things the right way.
And it is important, you know, you keep talking about conservation, and, you know, through the years and in history, farmers got a bad rap for destroying land, and I mean, look at Providence Canyon. It's beautiful now, but you know, I've noticed you and many, many other farmers, especially here in the South, really talk about conservation, and it's important to you to keep this land healthy.
Absolutely. Well, as I mentioned earlier, my family really instilled a conservation ethic in me from the time I was a young child. I probably didn't realize that's what it was until I was much older and really gained that appreciation. But one thing my dad always says is he quotes that you have to take care of the land and the land will take care of you. And that's something that we know that it's critical. We're a multi-generational farm. I'm the sixth generation of my family to farm in this area. And I wouldn't have that opportunity if it weren't for stewardship. So I really see stewardship of our land and our business as a core value of our farm operation. And I was really fortunate to work in the conservation space for so many years to really learn all the new tools and technologies that are out there. And that's something that I really want to continue making progress. I'm really proud of my parents for all of the work that they did and the progress that they made to implement conservation practices on our farm and try new things even when they were just still in the experimental stage too, that would have a better environmental footprint, and I want to continue doing that and really continue making progress on our farm.
That better environmental footprint includes taking care of the river that runs through the property.
Our farm borders the Flint River, which is just an incredible natural resource that we have here in Southwest Georgia. And one fun fact that most people don't realize is that the Flint River actually starts underneath the Atlanta Airport in Atlanta, and then it flows down and becomes this big, beautiful river. And it is a really, really special part of our farm and our property, and somewhere that really we really cherish spending time on. It's also a really big reason behind our motivation for conservation and stewardship, because we see the direct connection between our livelihood and the water that we use for to grow our crops, but then also the water that's needed for the health of our ecosystem. So this river is really, really special to our family, and we're so grateful that our farm is right here on it. And we've had over 150 years of our family that have lived here along the river and relied on it for every bit of their livelihoods.
This is a farm that grows some of Georgia's top crops, peanuts and sweet corn. But where does the name Longleaf Ridge come from?
So these are all longleaf pine, and our farm is actually named for these pine trees. It's called Longleaf Ridge because we have this beautiful ridge that goes all along the Flint River of longleaf pine. And the longleaf pine wiregrass ecosystem is a really, really special ecosystem. It is actually the most biodiverse ecosystem in North America other than the tropics. And we are really fortunate that we have several a pretty large amount of our land is in our farm is in longleaf pine. And so we are really committed to stewarding that land. And these pines can actually live to be 300 or 400 years old. So we do manage some of our timber commercially, and especially in the areas where longleaf isn't as, longleaf doesn't grow as well. But in areas like this where it's native and it's part of the natural landscape, we've been working really hard to restore the land. We are working really hard in our longleaf pine areas to make sure that we have some regeneration coming along and that we are restoring that landscape to longleaf pine that may have had another type of species take over. And we're just really committed to making sure that this natural landscape is here for many generations beyond ours. Longleaf pine wiregrass ecosystem is one of the most biodiverse ecosystems in North America. The plant biodiversity, the wildlife biodiversity that exists in this habitat is incredibly special. And this ecosystem formerly covered almost 90 million acres of the coastal plain across the southern United States. And unfortunately now there's only about 4 million acres left. So we are really passionate about making sure that our little corner of the world has as much longleaf as possible in the areas where it would have naturally been.
That is awesome. Casey and her family at Longleaf Ridge Farms truly care about the world they live in, the land they grow on, and the people they feed. Before we go, I want to leave you with one more fun fact from Casey. And this might be the most useful thing you learned today.
Okay, so preparing corn, you've done it. Like it raw?
Yes, I do. I do like eating sweet corn raw, but if you want to cook it, which is my favorite recipe to make with fresh sweet corn, is to shuck it and then, drop it.
That's the dogs.
My favorite way to prepare fresh sweet corn on the cob is to shuck it and then brush all the silk off of it and then put it in a pot, cover it with water, bring it to a boil, but only boil it for 2 minutes. Most people boil it for way too long and you lose all the flavor. So boil it for 2 minutes only and then slather it with butter and salt if you want to.
But you don't need to with this.
You don't have to. This is very flavorful without it, but I do like the butter and salt addition.
Pretty simple, right? For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the gpb.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road. Yeah.